Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coast to Coast Combat Hour. I'm your host, Matthew Hawkins, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ed Carbajal. Weekly, we are brought to you by All Access MMA. Check out allaccessmma.com for our video podcast, MMA news, and MMA stories. Ed, we're together on a Bellator 300 weekend. Wasn't sure if Bellator would ever make it to this number, and they might not go many past it, but we're here.
So, yeah, and I'm glad you're going because I was going to go as media. I was going to put in for it. And it's a big event that I really wish I could go to. But I had jury duty come at me at the same time. And it was literally like I was on the hook up until October 6th, which is, you know, kind of eats up fight week because the event's on the 7th. So, and oddly enough, they let me off the hook today, finally. But which is why we're recording a little earlier tonight, because I got home. I got some free time out of the day since they dismissed us. But yeah, I'm glad you're going to that event because you know, it is a marquee event, 300 events, and you know, with everything going on in the news about Bellator, I hope that they honor the name and what they've done thus far. I didn't get a chance to watch any of the media stuff that went on today. I'm going to have to do that after the podcast because, you know, I know they had the press conference today. Lots of good questions were asked. I know Coker talked about, you know, what he feels he's accomplished with the brand. As I was going through clips on my train ride home from the grand jury courthouse. But it was definitely like it's definitely something I wish I could have watched because it's you know, It's history, man. I mean, you need a good number two promotion to the UFC out there, and you know, right now in the US, it's for me, it's still Bellator anyway.
Talent wise, it's definitely Bellator.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know enough about the ownership of a lot of the other companies to really, at least for me, I don't know enough about PFL, and we don't know what's going on with BK. I mean, BKFC is not MMA, but just any general promotion, you know, Bellator. We've had a pretty, I don't want to say open book because obviously it's not an open book, but there's been, you know, we've known some names with Bellator.
Yeah. And some fighters have been great. The PR people are great, you know, for media stuff. Shout out to Danny Brenner and CJ Tuttle for helping out media us guys get some experience covering this sport. You know, it's a really good, promotion. And I think that's why I get a little, you know, heated when people try to shit on them, because if you want to cover MMA, the UFC, unless, I mean, maybe you got to, you know, like eat bugs or suck on put hot sauce in your eyes to get their attention on TikTok. But like these guys will give you, if they see that you're writing and covering the sport, they'll give you legit credentials so you can cover the sport. And I don't understand how the UFC is not that way, but it's just what it is.
Yeah, who knows? But yeah, I mean, you've had it from the media side and the professional side of that. Mm-hmm. And I've had it since day one, basically, with Bellator as a fan. Mm. I mean, I get the same way, you know, when I see people, you know, on Twitter or something, like, who watches Bellator? I want to be like, well, I do. I went to Bellator 10. This is going to be my 36th Bellator event. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can pretty confidently say I've probably been to more as a fan than anybody on this planet. Like, until somebody shows me a 37 number next to the amount, like, I will never believe it, because there was a lot of small events, especially in the early days. I went to Bellator 99. Yeah. I went to Bellator 199. I never made it to 100 or 200. So this one's kind of cool, because at least I hit the even big number. But
you know what's pretty cool, actually, that you're going to this event, and with, you know, it's the co-main is Cyborg versus Ngannou for the title, and you did that good write up on the Blogboard Jungle website about the Cyborg Carano. It's like you've definitely got, like, there's you've got bars in this game.
between Bellator and Strikeforce, yeah. I mean, that's you're roughly 50 events that I was able to go see. And I mean, I'm not a part of the history, but I've seen the history unfold in front of me. And I've, you know, people shit on Bellator, and then it's like, well, you know, but I saw, like, Eddie Alvarez make a run. I saw Chandler's whole career. I saw Pitbull's whole career. I saw Joe Warren. I saw the Melvin Manhoff, Joe Schilling battles when they, you know what I mean? Like, there was, you know, the Paul Daly's kind of reinvigoration, you know, where he came in and started having firework fights with Larkin and Ward and you know, and those guys. So to me, it's always been like a really fun promotion. I've told people for a long time now that I always felt like Bellator was a party, like at
Sphere,
especially on the floor. UFC is more of a it's commercial. Like you don't have access. Like if you have floor seats at Bellator, you can go shake Scott Coker's hand.
Yeah. So here's like I've only been to one Bellator event as a fan. It was before I even knew I wanted to cover the sport. I went, it was a gift to me from a girl I was seeing at the time. We went to Rampage's first fight against Mbuku. I have the shirt in my closet hanging still at Mohegan Sun. I remember I sat on the second tier. And the thing you're talking about, man, that, and I actually tell this to a lot of the guys I train with, you know, like they're all talking about going to UFC events, but we all go to regional shows around here because we got guys that compete for my gym and sub-only grappling and you know, coming up in MMA and all that stuff. And I always tell them, I'm like, if you want to have fun, like at an event, go to a Bellator event because they do so many engaging things with the fans, like the meet and greets that they do. You know, if you are like first whatever number into the arena, you can get bobbleheads and all the stuff that they do just to interact with the fans and kind of say thank you for coming to this event. You don't see that. I mean, maybe in the past the UFC did stuff like that. But the, you know, what do you get, like a fucking NFT now or something? Some shit you can't hold?
But to be fair, Bellator kind of got away from that post COVID, and that's been, and now we're seeing maybe, you know, why there might be reasons why, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so but for the most part, that's been the case, and it might be the case this weekend. I haven't heard of anything special. Usually they'd have a Dave and Buster's thing or something, and I'm kind of surprised I haven't seen that come up this week. Seems like a missed opportunity, but they're not trying. If you're going to sell, you're not.
That's what I'm saying. That this event's coming with a little bit of, like, I don't want to say shade. I'm not sure what the term I'm looking for is, but
shade's right.
There's
like
a little.
We can criticize the owner. Like, we can still praise the promotion while at the same time being disappointed that they seem to be kind of selling out.
But the thing of it is like I mean, if I'm working there and I know this is happening, you know, it's like a going out of business sale. You're still coming to work to get your last bit of, you know, money, but you know, there's got to be some sort of it's got to be a, you know, bittersweet too. Like it can't be all good moods or all around. Like I know for a fact, like when the UFC sold, folks that, because back before the UFC sold, I still had people I talked to there, and that I was getting credentialed back then before the Endeavor era. And people I talked to, without saying names, like texting them when I was still in Vegas. I remember when that sale happened. I was on my before I got on the plane back to Jersey, because that was UFC 200 weekend. You know, I was texting people and they were literally telling me, everyone in the room, their jaws just dropped right now. Like the mood is not good. And like, you know, so I would imagine something similar is going on. But, you know, when things change, you're always going to see a changing of the guard and like management and other people. So we'll see what happens, because they have this event in the 301s in November. And then on their website is literally nothing else after that. Maybe they'll announce something on during the broadcast. Again, I have no idea what went on at the press conference today, because I was in fucking jury duty, but I'm gonna watch it like tonight, and tomorrow morning my tweets will, or after this podcast when I'm done editing and uploading, it'll be I'll have my takeaways from that.
Well, I honestly hope that they don't say anything during the event. Like let's keep you gotta keep it separate. You can't. I mean, that would be a tough pill for. I mean, not a tough pill, because most people don't give a damn. I mean, let's just. We, you know, this is not life changing things for us as fans, obviously for the fighters and for the cut men and the, you know, and everything else that goes along, the promotional guys, then obviously there could become a time where they're looking for jobs elsewhere. We've heard so many rumors about them running separate promotions to, you know, everything, and none of a lot of it doesn't make sense. So whenever I assume there's a sale going down, you got to assume that Bellator is basically going to disappear. You know, they might sugarcoat it for a couple months, but it's just a matter of time before they make the cut.
If they were smart, they would do the SmackDown Raw thing and let Bellator run it with his branding and everything, and then keep doing your seasonal format and kind of mix that up. Like have the champions enter, you know, because they've been doing tournaments that are $1 million tournaments. Have the champions enter the tournament. You know what I mean? The PFL tournaments, you know, make super fights off the pay-per-views with the, you know, Bellator champion versus, you know, whatever name for the PFL branding. Like there's things they could do. It's just depending on who's running what, and you know, if you have too many decision makers, they're going to start running into each other, making bad decisions, unless they got a good team of people, you know.
Which I doubt. Neither the PFL or Bellator do like expect, you know, huge numbers mm-hmm. on TV. So neither of them are like box office really as far as the numbers on television go. So we're talking ESPN and Showtime. Obviously there's mm-hmm. a big discrepancy for PFL to get, you know, 150,000 eyes on ESPN seems a little bit weak to me.
If they would have just put them on CBS the whole time they've been under the Viacom Paramount banner, like if you had just put the events on CBS, you know, you wouldn't have this stigma of not enough people know about Bellator. People would have, let me look back at the Elite XC Strikeforce days when they were on CBS. So, I mean, the numbers that those Kimbo Slice fights did and everything, like you could have done a bunch. The one that they just did, the numbers that was people watch that event. Like,
yeah, no doubt. I mean, the Kimbo Day numbers, those for TV will never come back because you have so much streaming and stuff mm-hmm. now. Today's actually the anniversary of Cedric Petruzzelli. Mm. Pulling off the upset over Kimbo and basically killing that organization. I mean, I do like the idea of the Raw SmackDown model. In a perfect world, honestly, I'd like to see them combine in some fashion and change the names of both of them. So we get like a kind of a, to me, Professional Fighter League is kind of generic. Bellator is kind of odd because it's not a name that most people are able to like pinpoint what it means. I believe it means warrior in Spanish, essentially. And that's what, you know, that's what I've always understood. I never, check,
in,
you know,
in Latin, I think it means warrior. Yeah,
that's what I read 15 years ago, or whatever, when it started, and when it was a primarily Spanish speaking promotion mm-hmm. for the first 13 events. But yeah, I mean, I've enjoyed it from the beginning. I can't, you know, there's so much fun. I've been with so many friends, been out to New York to your neck of the woods for it. You know, I just, it's one of those things where I was sad when Strikeforce left. I was sad when WC was gone. I was sad when Pride was gone, obviously. And Elite XC for that matter. I mean, mm-hmm. Elite XC was kind of like the drunkards MMA organization, but they had good names and they, you know,
yeah,
there was fights. I mean, we were on, I saw today, we were the next event for Elite XC, had it not been canceled, was going to be headlined by Eddie Alvarez versus Nick Diaz. Mm. And you think, like, what could have been? I mean, the co-main event was Joey Villaseñor, who a lot of newer fans have no idea was. The dude was a fucking killer in mm-hmm. early Elite XC and King of the Cage, when King of the Cage was, like, the top, like, 3-4 promotion in the country. He was one of their champions out here. So, I mean, and Lawler, obviously, that would have been a bang. At the time, it would have been a banger, you know. So there was, you know, you hate to see it because, you know, you look at Bellator and you're like, god damn, what's Pico's next fight? And you're going, well, we may never see it, you know. Mm. Now maybe he's gonna fight somebody from, you know, somebody from PFL, and it'll be some names, but I'm not impressed with PFL's roster. I know they got some good, obviously some good fighters, mm-hmm. but they haven't brought me in like
they don't do a good job of
They've always done a bad job. They're on different nights. I mean, Bellator switches between Fridays and Saturdays occasionally, but you generally know like their big events
are going to be on the weekend.
You know,
not a random Wednesday. They don't
just show up on a random Wednesday. Exactly. And there's not, I don't know. All promotions have their ups and downs, but I've been a huge fan. Obviously I it'll be sad if the day comes when it's gone, but that day's not here yet. So let's talk Saturday, Ed. What do we got on the fight card here? Because I know right now we're showing like 16 fights. Well, 17. Yeah. Unfortunately, we lost Linton Vassell, Ryan Bader, heavyweight championship.
Yeah. Shout out to Nolan King for breaking that news early in the week. That was the hit that the card took. Vassell was due to undisclosed illness, according to the piece that he wrote over at MMA Junkie. But we still got some pretty good fights. So three title fights make up the main card on the Showtime portion. And there's a ton of prelims that you can watch on Bellator's YouTube channel. Starts at 6 p.m. my time, I believe. I guess we should look at the first title fight with Liz Carmouche and Alimele McFarlane. I'm looking. So we're looking at Bellator.com. They have their fan picks where people vote on who's going to win. it's almost 50-50 there. They have 51% for Carmouche and 49% for McFarlane. I would say that's pretty fair. I don't know about you. I know McFarlane has had some emotional duress with the stuff going on in Maui. I'm wondering how heavy that weighs on her mind. You know, and Carmouche is proven to be one tough customer who I always, if you look at her fight with Ronda Rousey, there's a point where she almost wins that fight, cranking Rousey's neck the other way. And, you know, it could have been a different, could have been a different story for the UFC if she finished that move. But I would say 50-50 is right. I don't know, man. I know McFarlane might not be all there because of everything going on. And with the Maui stuff, I feel like, because she was really emotional on her social, I feel like Carmouche might have the edge.
Yes, I agree with that. I saw Lima Lay. I've watched her fight 3 times live in Bellator, her second fight ever, and then defending the title against Ortega and Alejandra Lara. Carmouche, I managed to see fight Rousey in that fight you mentioned. That was out here at the Anaheim Pond. And then I saw her in New York at your side for the big opening 205, where she, I think she opened the card actually with a win over Caitlin Chookagian that night. Lima Lay McFarlane, for my money, is way more exciting and a much fun fighter to watch. However, I don't see a path to victory in this fight for her. I think it is going to be very hard. She's not going to knock out Carmouche. I don't think she'll be able to get Carmouche down to the ground. I suppose her way to victory is using her really good jiu-jitsu. If Carmouche were to take her down and fall into a triangle or an armbar, I think that that's really like the only way I can see McFarlane winning, and I don't think it'll happen. I think Carmouche does her thing. She grinds herself to it. Grinds the fight down to a halt. I think she controls Lima Lay on the ground. I think standing, it's probably 50-50. Neither of them are super powerful strikers. I might even lean slightly McFarlane in the stand-up. Although Carmouche did stand with Shevchenko, although it was a boring hell fight, she did stand with Shevchenko for 5 rounds. So, you know, there's but I'm going Carmouche decision. I don't think this is going to be the fight that is going to light the crowd on fire, but it is two local girls, essentially. I know Lima Lay is Hawaii, but she does a lot of stuff out of San Diego. Carmouche has been in San Diego for quite a while now, the training. I think both of them basically train at 10th Planet. I know at one time they were teammates. Yeah. I'm not sure where they're training.
That's the other thing, too. Like, there's a knowledge of how they kind of know how one another fights. And the other thing you mentioned that Ortega fight with McFarlane, man. I mean, you know, Carmouche is just like a better and tougher Ortega. You know what I mean? Like that was a tough fight for McFarlane, the Vitor Ortega fight. I know a cut ended.
I don't think Carmouche is tougher. I think she's just better and more technical and maybe stronger than our Vita, but
That's what I'm saying. There's things she's just better. So it's hard not to. I mean, it'd be nice for Lima Lay to win, but I agree with the numbers here. I'm with the fans on this one. I'm going. It looks like we're both for Carmouche.
I expect the arena to be pretty pro McFarlane. Obviously, there's going to be a ton of followers and friends and family for both of them. Mm-hmm. But Lima Lay's got a nice following, and you know, even though a lot of the casual fans recognize her from her, you know, just from headlining the Bellator Hawaii cards and the Lays and the Hula Girls and all that kind of stuff that goes along with the Hawaiian background. Co-main event, personally, is a fight that I'm super excited for. Chris Cyborg, Kat Zingano, a fight that's been kind of a grudge match waiting to happen for, God dang, I mean, you could almost argue a decade at this point, going back to the early UFC days and even, Chris Cyborg wasn't in the early UFC days with Zagano and Tate and them, but at the same time they weren't Invicta together, and Zingano's always been a top challenger, while Cyborg has essentially always been the champion. You mentioned the write-up I did with Cyborg always talks about being a Grand Slam champion. I've been lucky enough to see her fight I think approaching 9-10 times now, and I was at 3 of those title wins, so I've been at 3 or 4 of her the Strikeforce, the UFC, and the Bellator titles. I was all there. Got to see it. Zingano, not as much. I saw her fight at Bellator or UFC 200 recently. I was at her Pechanga. She fought McCourt. I saw her fight with Anderson, Megan Anderson, where she took the toe to the eye early in the fight. So bit some up and downs in the fights I've seen Kat fight. But I mean, I think Cyborg personally probably goes into Cyborg mode because Cyborg, although she comes across as this savage in the cage, which obviously she's earned, she usually doesn't have animosity towards the people she's fighting.
No.
You know, this is like the first fight that I can remember in a long time. I mean, she fought the Marlos Conans. Like, the everything was respectful. Julia Budd, even Tanya Evinger. You know, a lot of these people, Blenko. So this is the first fight where she's been on Twitter kind of calling somebody out and seeming like she wants to put someone in their place. So I kind of am curious to see if we get that, you know, smash mode Cyborg, which could also open up a hole for Zingano to take advantage of.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say, because I keep, this fight makes me think of when she fought Amanda Nunes in the UFC. Like, there was a, you could see in that fight that she actually, I mean, and it's not that it's hype, but like Cyborg seemed like she was overconfident, and then obviously she, you know, the what the fight went down the way it went down. So I my concern is that the animosity does that to her and gets her very like overconfident, and Zingano is able to catch her with something. So I mean she's also experienced. So I mean, before I even continue, just to bring up the numbers again, 86% of the fans voted for Cyborg to win. It's hard to pick against her. It's hard to pick against her because of what I'm about to say. Is that she's, because of her experience, I don't see her falling in, you know, she's someone that learns from her mistakes. She's not going to fall into that again. And I just feel like she's going to go on with the proper amount of nervous energy that fighters bring to the cage so that their bodies can perform, you know, at their best. And being, you know, in your neck of the woods, a location she's super, like, you know, the guy has a strong fan base, 300th event, her relationship with Scott Coker, I feel like she's probably not looking to let anybody down.
No, not at all. And I mean, I think that she figures out a way to do this. You know, for me, like, the Zingano's opening historically, like, you might be talking of, without Nate going through the list of all the current fighters, because I don't know every female fighter, but these are probably two of the best female fighters in the clinch in the history of MMA. Zingano has always found a way. She did it with McCourt. She did it with Misha Tate back in the day. She manages to get the tie clinch and the and use her knees and that inside fighting really, really well. The only person who might be better at her than that is Chris Cyborg. So you kind of, I feel like that neutralizes, because to me, like, that would have been Zingano's like shot. Like, let's get a clinch up against the cage, throw a knee, maybe you catch her in the liver, and her, maybe you get her to head or drop her head and you cut her, like, you know, you bloody her up. Basically, that's what she did to McCourt. Fight was 50-50, and then she caught her and busted her up.
And I feel like folks that are going to talk about, you know, like, Zingano's got great wrestling, but so I think Cyborg's got enough experience, and she's probably the stronger fighter that she can neutralize the wrestling. So she's probably going to, obviously, if they keep it at range, a striking edge goes to Cyborg. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happens. But it's probably going to be a really good fight. Would you say if you're expecting a finish, though?
I think Cyborg finishes her within the first round and a half. I think she bloodies her up, and I think she mauls her. I think this also is the fight that brings the roof off the arena. I think this is the one that everybody there is going to be excited for. And not because it's necessarily the best fight, because that, or the best fight or fighters on the card, because the main event's got an undefeated future star on it. But I think the Cyborg Zingano brings in the old school fans, the new school fans, the hardcore fans. You know what I mean? Like, Cyborg, if you're a fan of MMA, you don't miss a Cyborg fight. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, she's established herself on the, you know, if Mount Rushmore was 10 fighters, she'd be on it, you know, male and female. That's basically where she is. So, and I have mad respect for her with all the crap she had to put up with all those years. And, you know, obviously she had her issue with the test over a decade ago now, but, those are different times. Wild Wild West was different. So, but yeah, so I got Cyborg. Let's jump to this main event. Brett Primus getting a title shot in the lightweight Grand Prix. He fights Usman Nurmagomedov, five rounds for his title. Nurmagomedov 17-0, finishing people left and right, submissions, knockouts, a little bit of everything. Seems like he's almost a prodigy of the sport in the way he's able to do stuff. Not a clone of his cousin Khabib by any means. He's more of a violent fighter, I would say. A little less in the control thing and more of the, like, just let's just kill this guy and get him out of here kind of attitude. Mm-hmm. Primus has been there with everybody. He was a former champ, fought Chandler twice. Obviously they split, but I mean, I can't pick, it's a Nurmagomedov, right? Like I can't, and picking against an undefeated one,
yeah,
you know? So I think honestly, this is probably a finish too. Primus is extremely durable, but I do think that Nurmagomedov, especially in a 5-round fight, I'm thinking somewhere between 3-4 round, you know, ish. I think he's able to wear him down and finish the fight. It might even come sooner than that if he starts landing a wheel kick or something yeah. crazy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can't disagree with anything you said. 90% of the fans on the Bellator.com website are picking Nurmagomedov to win. And there's only a 9% leaning for Primus, but you know, I'm anxious. I want to see the odds on this. I feel like, oh, I don't know, man.
It's got to be negative 350 for Usman. It's got to be. Got to be 3 or 4 to 1 at least.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, I feel something. I don't know why I want to pick Brent Primus. Maybe just because everyone is picking Nurmagomedov. But I'm just because I want to be that guy, I'm picking Brent Primus to win.
Hey, well,
he's got, I mean, listen, he does things that impress me. He's always done something that really impressed me. Again, Usman has been very impressive, you know, since he's made this run in Bellator. But I mean, there's every time that I can think of, I've counted Brent Primus out. He's done something to surprise me. Like I remember when seeing how good his jiu-jitsu is, I think that was against Benson Henderson. I'm trying to think the fight against Michael Chandler when he's one of the people that I first saw actually make use of the calf kick and screw someone's foot up. Like I was just like, he's always done something that impressed me. So those moments are what's making me pick him. So I'm picking him. I'm picking Brent Primus.
You know, I hope it's a hell of a fight. And if the upset happens, I will be standing up and cheering the dude on. So, I mean, it's three good fights. Four would have been freaking sweet, but you know the prelims also got a lot of names on them. You know, the Henry Corrales's, Davian Franklin, Leah McCourt.
Yeah, that's Sarah a fight. We're fight. Just for before because we were talking about it. Yeah, Sarah McMahon, Leah McCourt. That's going to be a fun fight. I feel like if Sarah McMahon's going to wrestle a decision, what would the fans say on that one? Yeah, it looks like they agree. She just seems like she's stronger, and this is the fight that you were saying if we get a swing that into the Showtime broadcast off of YouTube, Henry Corrales versus Kai Kamaka III, like that's surprisingly like in the middle of the prelims currently. They could change the card up come fight night, but you know that this is a fight that I feel like should be closer to the main card.
That should open the main card. They need to add a fight because you got to remember. Mm-hmm. Like, even though there's TV time, mm-hmm. that arena has a lot of people show up for the main card. They mm-hmm. want to sell beers. They want to, you know what I mean? Like, you can't, if you have three quick fights and this event's over in an hour and 15 minutes, you know, I mean, that at least Alejandro my mind.
A lot of Joanne's fighting.
Yeah. Joanna Bishop. And, there was another one. Justin Montavo. I've seen him fight a million times. He's mm-hmm. mainstay on the West Coast here for their fights.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of guys with nice little records, you know, 5-0s, 4-0s, you know, so I, you know, it looks like I'm having a hard time reading their ticket sales because if I'm being honest, I think Bellator has played some games with what tickets they've released. Mm. It seems like a lot of promotions are doing it now. I don't know if they're trying to sell certain sections first and therefore not releasing other sections. I'm not real sure. I'm kind of expecting a late last minute ticket dump where I look and all of a sudden there's a bunch of tickets for Bellator available. Mm. But as it stands right now in the lower bowl, there's probably only 20 tickets available. I mean, it's pretty thin. I pulled the trigger on buying some the other day because some popped up that weren't there a week ago, and then they popped up. And, you know, so I'm like fourth row, fifth row riser right next to the cage. Yeah. So I got a hell of a seat for the fight, but it's historically they never sold like that. Mm. But we mentioned all the prelims. I haven't checked to see how many of those guys are local. The main card is essentially all local fighters. Mm. It would have been, you know, two of the three title fights are basically four local guys. I'm wondering how many Cyborg very well might sell 3,000-4,000 tickets by herself. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know how many tickets that these people are able to sell, especially in their neighborhood. Zingano, you know what I mean? You might have all of 10th Planet there for Carmouche and McFarland. So mm-hmm. You might have all of 10th Planet from San Diego to San Jose there. You know what I mean? Like there's chance. So I'm thinking that that's probably what happened, is that the fighters were able to sell a lot of tickets. Therefore maybe boosting the thing. It doesn't look like they've closed off sections of the arena, because there's almost tickets like spattered among the top rows. But for the most part, if what I'm seeing in the ticket thing is true, then it's going to be one of the better selling Bellator events that they've ever had, which would be ironic if we're talking about them basically closing the doors for what you got to believe would be financial reasons. Otherwise, why would you do it? So I think it's 3:30 my time, 6:30 your time. I believe that's the prelim start. Main card, I think, is 10 your time, 7 my time. Yeah, I think that's what it's going to be with that many prelims. I imagine about 3.5 hours of prelims, and then
That's right. 10 p.m. Eastern. There you go. 6:30 for the prelims. So, there is also a UFC event on that night. UFC Fight Night, whatever, in the Apex. It's an ESPN Plus card. If you're not in the UFC's favorite circle, you probably didn't get tickets to the Apex, but. If you're looking for other fights to watch, man, this is a surprisingly pretty well. I'm just gonna bring it up. We're not gonna do picks or anything, but I'm just gonna bring it up because we don't want to leave it out, because obviously it will be trending as well that night. And there's some fights that we were looking at just before we started recording on here that are surprisingly like scattered about on the card. You know, the main event is Grant Dawson versus Bobby Green. I feel like this is them trying to feed Grant Dawson to Bobby Green to try to get him, give Bobby Green the push. I mean, not that he hasn't earned it or whatever, but I know he makes some very popular clickable stuff on social media, so that's probably why this is happening.
But, based off the odds, they agree. The odds makers agree with you.
Yeah. So yeah, because he's Green's plus 310, Dawson's minus 445. But look at these other fights on the card, the ones that caught my eye when I was getting ready for the podcast this week. You know, you got all these, this Murano versus Buckley is on the main card. I mean, they seem to have stacked this Apex card really well.
Drew Dober versus Rick Glenn's a good fight.
On the prelims, Philippe Lenz versus Ion Cutelaba. Like and Carolina Kowalkiewicz versus Diana Belbita, and Johnny Munoz versus this young fellow over here that I'm not going
to. No, we're not going to try to say it. The guy from China, Aqualung or something like that. He's fighting Johnny Munoz Jr., the son of my my first jiu-jitsu instructor in 1998.
Jesus.
So pulling for that guy. I know. Old man. Jeez. Right?
This fight right here, then Demopoulos versus Murata, that's a great fight, too. I mean,
Murata, I've kind of lost track of her. She was kind of can't miss for a little while, and
that's why I was so happy to see her name. Yeah.
For a while. Yeah. Okay. She hasn't fought in a couple years. So that would explain it, because she had a shoulder injury. Mm. There it is, against Jen DeRoba. So, okay. That makes sense now, because she was at one point, other than a fight loss early in her career, she was on a hell of a run and doing a lot of damage in Ryzen and stuff. So, yeah. Good fight. Montana De La Rosa and JJ Ulrich.
It's the first fight on the card.
Going back to the. Going back to one of the early tough days for the women's flyweight. I mean,
so looks like, I mean, it's a good thing it's raining here on the East Coast on Saturday, because my night in will certainly not be without content to consume and write about.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, yeah. But UFC, obviously, like you said, has some fights and a surprisingly good spatter of names. But that Bellator card has a chance to be fire. So I don't know, man. Hopefully you get a lot of good stuff to write about. Hopefully I'm not regretting the drive home from San Diego back up to my place. But I don't think I will. I think that we're in for a good night of fights. I've never been to a boring cyborg fight. So no. I don't think there's any way I walk away with that arena, at least have some memory of something chaotic going on inside the Bellator cage. And, you know, look forward to hopefully, you know, saying what's up to our guy Matt Marsden and some of the other guys from Bellator that have been good to us, and you know, if this is the last time I get to see him in San Diego or get to see him in general, I think it's going to be a nice little swan song here. So again, that's Saturday, loaded day of action, and God, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. Great show. Thanks Kevin for the shout out. Appreciate you tuning in. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The Bellator 301 is in Chicago next month, so we'll see what's in store between now and then. But in the meantime, you know, you have fun at that event. I'm gonna have fun watching. I'll hopefully be able to jump on the Bellator Zoom and get some questions in. This is definitely interesting times to be a fan of mixed martial arts.
Absolutely. I saw James Lynch was coming out to cover it. So when James Lynch is on a plane to cover it, you know, it's a big event. So I look forward to seeing that guy out there too. So thank you for everybody for listening. You can catch the show on Twitter at Combat Hour, Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Follow me, Matthew Hawkins, at MMA Hawk 21 on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Ed on Twitter at Carbazol, Old Head Carb on Twitch, and Carb Beersol on Instagram. And again, you can always check out the show at allaccessmma.com. Check out All Access MMA for our video podcasts, MMA stories, MMA news. And of course, again, check out the Bloody Good Show website. That's the Bloody Good Show.
The Bloody Good Show.
With a lot of other MMA podcasts. Support all these guys that are doing stuff for free and trying to help out the podcast community. So check all that stuff out and enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the fights. Whether you're in rain, whether you're in heat, stay safe and look forward to next time.
Peace.